joining WGN, and that, of course, is Hooray for Hollywood, and that means TV critic Dan Feinberg from The Hollywood Reporter is with us again for the top 10 best TV shows of 2020. Good evening, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm good. I'm intrigued. I'm excited. I think you're doing somewhat of a public service, if you don't mind me saying so, because no one can watch what.
That is what I do. I try to curate. I guess is the nicest way to put it.
You know, I used to make a joke years ago. I'll watch the TV shows so you don't have to. Now it's like somebody better watch the TV shows because there's no way anybody can watch all of them. And in this world, in this environment, just taking a look at the sources in your top 10, HBO's in there a couple of times, AMC, FX, Nat Geo, Netflix, IFC, Stars, FXX, and that's just a partial list of the streaming and that's available to the households this year. It's incredible. So let's just get into it. You wanna?
Absolutely. Where do you want to start?
Well, in the radio business, we like a countdown. Number 10, number 9, number 8, number 7. So you can keep the listeners interested as to what will be number 1. So let's go right to the top 10 by starting with, as he said, trying to turn the paper. Number 10, which is Dave on FXX. FXX is something I think I heard years ago that they kicked that off with a multi-day marathon of The Simpsons, but I might be incorrect in that. So
you are 100% correct that that is how they launched FXX, and FXX was supposed to at some point be the home for FX's edgier comedies, and so that meant things like Archer. It meant It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and they've kind of lost the focus a little bit. But Dave absolutely fits in with what FXX was always supposed to be about. And for people who don't know, it's semi-autobiographical, but mostly not. The story of YouTube rap sensation Little Dicky, who is played by Dave Bird, who is a co-creator of the series, and it's about his attempts to make it as a Jewish white guy trying to make it into hip-hop.
You sold me. I'm onto it right now. A Jewish white guy trying to make it into hip-hop. Great idea. Great idea,
It's a strange show, though, because his entire gimmick is about this inferiority complex he has, and as you can guess from his hip-hop name, Lil Dicky, a lot of his songs are about his genitals, to put it in a radio-friendly way.
Right.
And the thing is, if you watch the show for the first 3 or 4 episodes, you will think it's childish and maybe a little funny, but around episode 5, the good stuff kicks in. And the second half of the season of Dave really was one of my favorite things on TV the entire year. Some of the episodes are shockingly mature in their exploration of masculinity in hip-hop, of appropriation. The show just gets better and better as it goes along. So, you know, if you sample it, know that this really is a show that deepens as it goes along. If you're amused at the beginning, absolutely keep watching. But if you're only a little amused and you're like, God, how can this go on forever? I promise that at episode 5, that is the episode that is the clear turning point. It becomes really good.
Well, I read here, you use the terms toxic masculinity and mental illness as part of this show.
It's surprisingly deep. You watch the first couple episodes and you think, man, it's just going to be this guy making jokes about his dick. And then it wants to be about a lot more sophisticated things, and it does those things amazingly well in the second half of the season.
Well, as we go from one genitalia, we go to the other. Number 9.
I swear I hadn't noticed that until right now. So
that's why you need. That's why you need me. We go from Valley, right? So, what goes on in P Valley? I'm afraid to ask.
You might be able to figure it out. It is about a strip club in a rundown town in the Mississippi Delta, and about the strippers and the people who visit the club and just their day-to-day lives. And it is absolutely raunchy and very much not for the whole family.
Right.
But it is written, created by and run by Katori Hall, who is a fairly young playwright, and it is based on her play that spelled out the P word in addition to the Valley. Mm-hmm. And it is just such a distinctive show. And Katori Hall has such a distinctive voice. You know, she's a playwright because it's right. Theatrical dialogue. The cast is full of people who you probably won't recognize, but they're all terrific. And it's just a soapy world done right. And it's, you know, full of, there's murder, there's violence, there's all sorts of issues that are in the background. But it's soapy and fun and raunchy and pungent and distinctive. And I just enjoyed being in this world because it's a world you don't see on TV all that often.
And this is on Stars. So let's
on Stars.
We're at number 8, Brockmire on IFC. I do know about Brockmire. I have seen Hank Azaria's character as Brockmire. It is a great show. Explain why you like it.
This was the fourth and final season of Brockmire, and I'm going to miss this show. And it's a little bit like Dave in the sense that it starts off as kind of a one-joke show. It's Hank Azaria, as you say, is a baseball announcer who has an exaggerated baseball announcer voice, but who also has a large number of demons. And so he's a raging alcoholic. He's a philanderer. He makes a mess of his life at every turn. And over 4 seasons, the show charts his attempts to reform himself, rarely all that successfully. But the 4th season does a strange and remarkable thing and jumps roughly 10 years into the future and becomes a strange semi-dystopic science fiction comedy, which is a really odd thing for a grounded baseball comedy to decide to do in its last season.
Yes.
And you think, my goodness, why would they want to do this? And there's no way it could work. And it works astonishingly well. And it's another one of those shows where because you put in the time with these characters, you've built enough affection that by the time it gets to the last 3 or 4 episodes, and Hank Azaria is just wonderful on this show.
Oh,
it is
great.
The best performance of his career.
Great. He is great. We're talking to Dan Feinberg.
You just really care.
We're talking to Dan Feinberg for The Hollywood Reporter. We're counting down his top 10 TV shows of 2020, and we'll continue that countdown right after this on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, John Landecker on the line with Dan. Dan Feinberg, the TV critic for The Hollywood Reporter, and the reason I use, and we're going down his top 10 at the top for 2020, and the reason I use the FX logo is that we are at number 7, which is The Queen's Gambit, which is indeed on Netflix, and I have to tell you personally, this is one of my favorite shows of all time.
It's really good, isn't it? It's this is the first show on my list that we've talked about that you could actually sit down and watch with your parents or watch with your children. This is the first show that I've gotten to that hasn't been kind of raunchy and edgy.
Yes.
This is just good, smart, prestige TV done right. In the same way that I feel about The Crown on
right.
Netflix.
Absolutely.
That high production values and smart writing and trust in the audience. And a great performance at the center from Anya Taylor-Joy, who is just wonderful here as a chess prodigy, battling her inner demons. This is just a show that casts a spell. You don't need to know chess
right.
to watch it. I know chess the rules, but I'm not deep into chess strategy, but it just puts you in the world. It says, here, you're going to figure it out. You're going to figure out why it matters. You're going to figure out why it matters to her, to all the other characters, etc. And it's beautiful storytelling. Scott Frank wrote and directed the entire thing. He previously wrote and directed Godless on Netflix, which was also fairly solid.
Yes.
And I've heard one or two people say it's a little overlong. To me, I could have watched 13 episodes of this. Yeah. I could have watched two seasons.
Easy.
Seven seasons was just great, though.
You know, the thing for me was the incredible way that they take this Queen's Gambit, which is sort of a, if you're not a chess player, it's a title that probably brings to mind royalty of some kind. And you start watching it and you realize that it's about a chess move, but that doesn't matter because the story is amazing. And I heard so much word of mouth from friends of mine. Have you seen Queen's Gambit? Have you seen Queen's Gambit? And I said, well, no, I haven't yet. But once I started, and the actress is just mesmerizing. Her eyes are just like beacons. It's just really attractively, it just attracts your attention. I love it.
And so much of the show is just her staring at a chessboard. And
I know.
If she were any less expressive, you wouldn't understand it. And because she is as expressive as she is, you follow everything.
Let's go to number six, Immigration Nation on Netflix. I've not seen it, probably because of its content. I knew what it was.
It is a six-episode documentary series basically about the mess of America's immigration policy, not just currently, but going back decades. The filmmakers had unprecedented access to ICE, both as an agency and individual agents, and I'm fairly confident that ICE regrets the decision to give them that access.
Wow!
Because it is damning on every level, and it's infuriating, and it brings all of the nuance of what is a complicated issue to the surface, and it's not just Trump has done horrible things. He's putting kids in cages. There's some of that, but this is a multi-decade problem that Republicans have made a mess of, that Democrats have made a mess of, that everyone has made a mess of, even if it's currently a little bit worse. Here are some of the people who are trying to do the right thing. Here are some of the people who wanted to do the right thing, but the right thing wasn't possible. It is frustrating. It's edifying. It is not easy viewing, but it is, to me, it's essential viewing. If you want to be able to have a conversation about what is an important issue of our time.
Moving up to number five, City So Real on Nat Geo. And I'm ashamed to admit that I have never watched much Nat Geo at all, let alone to know that they had a series.
This was one that was acquired after the Sundance Film Festival, and it is Steve James, who is Chicago's own, of course, and it's his TV follow-up to America to Me, which aired on Starz 2 years ago and was my favorite series of that year. And, of course, people will know Steve James from Hoop Dreams and other similarly Chicago-centric pieces of documentary storytelling.
Absolutely.
And this is about... And this is about the Chicago 2019 mayoral election and just all of the candidates, all of the parts of the city and how they came together in a particular way. And then having done four episodes about the election, and spoiler alert, your listeners probably know who won that election.
I believe they do,
Steve James started rolling again in March. And the last episode is an 85-minute look basically at the spring and summer of COVID-19, of George Floyd protests, and all of those things played out of the election of 2019. It's fascinating, and as with everything Steve James does, it's just in such depth and is so much in love with Chicago as a city.
And that's on FX. Moving on to number three, this is a series I'm more than acquainted with on AMC, Better Call Saul. And it's a great show. I'm just sorry. It's just great. You know, Bob Odenkirk is a delight, for lack of a better word.
He is. I want to quickly note that you skipped over Better Things on FX, which is,
you know what else? You know what else? I just found out that I got like a minute, so I skipped over Better Things. Number three was Better Call Saul. Number two was How to with John Wilson. And number one, I May Destroy You on HBO. I'm sorry, Dan, that I ran out of time. You were just too damn interesting to talk to. That's all. That's all I have to say.
There's too much TV, and we'll talk again about it more later because there's always good stuff to watch.
And I love talking to you about it, Dan. Thanks very much for being with us.